Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in Rancho Cucamonga. The address is 9284 Baseline Road. Many of you can't make that trek up there to Rancho. You can always join us on our live stream. Our live stream webcast is broadcast at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the online service and watch them. If you don't have time on Sunday morning, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch any of the services. We've been looking at the miracles of Jesus, and we're going to pick up today in John 11. I'm going to skip a couple of the miracles and look at John 11 for a little while, and then we'll go back to the other miracles recorded in John. But before we go to John 11, I would like for us to just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, God of all miracles and grace, teach us today to see this miracle the way you see it. Help us to hear again the truth of your living word. Help us find ourselves in this amazing story of life. Amen. I don't know if you've ever sat down to read John 11. In fact, I'd encourage you to get your Bibles out. If you're working, just listen to it. If you need a Bible, you can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our church will get you a Bible. John 11, 1 through 44. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now was sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, but he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he's asleep, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." "Oh," Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after that he said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to Jesus. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Well, this story is rich with many aspects of the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. There are many characters involved in this story. You have the disciples, the bystanders, the people who have come to mourn Lazarus's death. You have Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who died and was risen from the dead. And of course, you have Jesus, who proclaims one of the greatest I am statements when Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" So again, I ask, where are you in the story? Jesus asked Martha what she believes, and we too are confronted with what we believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that because you believe you will live and never die? Jesus is the one asking us, do you believe this? Have you ever had a problem that seems insurmountable? How did you look at the problem? When I am faced with a huge problem, I like to break it down, figure out the pros and cons. I apply the old elephant rule. You cannot eat an elephant in one bite. You eat it bite by bite. Martha and Mary had a major problem. Their brother was deathly sick. The word that is used here for sick, well, it's a powerful Greek word. The Greek language has two words for sick. The word that John uses means deathly sick or sinking into death. Lazarus was deathly sick. When Jesus hears that the one whom he loves is deathly sick or sinking into death, what does he do? We are told in verses 4 through 6, when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Well, on a side note, the Greek word that Martha and Mary used to describe love that Jesus has for Lazarus is philia, a brotherly love found in verse 3. The word for how Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in verse 5 is agapeo love. Agape love is unconditional, unreserved, unrestricted, unqualified love. Martha and Mary describe Jesus' love as brotherly love, and John describes the love that Jesus has as agape love, unconditional love. What do you think of the fact that Jesus loves with an unconditional, unrestricted love? We could spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out the unconditional love of God, and we would never truly figure it out. Agape love is one of those elephant rule things, bite by bite, bit by bit. Agape love is way too big for us to ingest in one bite. The so what question that comes to me here in John's gospel is, if Jesus loves Lazarus with an unconditional, unrestricted love, why does Jesus stop and drop everything and go immediately to where Lazarus is? Why doesn't Jesus get up and run or walk or walk on water, fly or air transport himself to the bedside of Lazarus, the one he loves unconditionally? Why does Jesus wait 2 days and then walk for 2 more days in order to see Lazarus in Bethany? I know you probably never asked that question, but I am. I have a dear friend that told me that we should try and see things how God sees them. He said that sometimes we're so wrapped up in our problem that we cannot see the forest for the trees. He taught me to try to see life from a 10,000-foot view. My friend lived up in the mountains, and he told me how each night he would drive from the city up into the mountains. By the time he got home, he would have a better view of the problems of his life. Instead of being encircled by life's problems, he learned how to have, well, we live out by Mount Baldy, how to have a Mount Baldy view from, say, 10,000 feet above. Perspective makes all the difference. Perspective makes all the difference. We are earthbound creatures, but if we could learn to rise above and try to see from a heavenly or higher perspective, the traffic jams, the hospital visits, the school problems, the relationship issues, the financial concerns, the church situations, all the problems in our lives, well, I think we would see them differently. Our perspective makes all the difference. Do we see our problems from above or from ground level? Can we learn to develop a higher perspective, a Mount Baldy 10,000-foot view of life? Think of the 12 spies when they returned from scouting out the Promised Land. 10 spies saw giants in the land, but 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said that with God on their side, they could conquer the Promised Land. That was a view with a different perspective, but we know the rest of the story. The Israelites believed the 10 frightened, short-sighted spies and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The story's in Numbers 13. Perspective is everything. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We're talking about perspective is everything. Think of the little boy David when he saw Goliath intimidating the Israelites and insulting God. They saw a 9-foot giant, but David saw God on his side, 1 Samuel 17. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not willing to bow the knee to Nebuchadnezzar and being thrown into a fiery furnace? What about Daniel being willing to put into a lion's den? What about Joseph being sold into slavery and then put in prison only to become the number 2 man in Egypt? How do you see your problems? What is your perspective on what you are facing? Our perspective makes all the difference. Do we see our problems from above or from ground level? In 2019, my wife and I went through some very difficult situations. We had been struggling through lead poisoning and doing chelation. It's like chemo. We had some very close friends detach, disconnect, abandon, leave, and deny our friendship. As much as we tried to get them to talk and reconcile, we could not. We drove to Texas to visit our son. We were pretty broken people. Being in ministry can be extremely challenging. I try to pray and listen and bathe my choices according to God's word, but the trouble is that everyone else also has their own perspective. And sometimes, instead of talking the problem through, people choose to walk away. One night, we built a campfire in Texas around my son's fire pit. It was a chilly but beautiful night. Brian, our son, said he wanted to have a fire pit talk that he felt his parents needed to hear. Brian used the word speculation to talk about how we were having difficulty with our perspective. Everyone gets their own perspective in every situation. Our problem was that we were speculating about the situations that were before us. Here is his main idea. He said, just quit feeding the gorillas. Quit feeding the gorillas. Don't you see that the more you feed gorillas, the more they want to be fed? You're never going to reach the tipping point where the gorillas go away. No more bananas for us. Nope. A gorilla is always going to be a gorilla. he actually told his mama, he said, "Mama, you need to call 1-800-GORILLA. My mom, his wife, went with it, and she said, "And what do you say when I call?" Brian laughed and said, "They come and take the gorilla away in a cage and bring it to a gorilla sanctuary where they live happily forever, never bothering you again." It was this way of saying, let it go. Don't you see? We needed to get a different perspective on our problem. We needed to see things from Mount Baldy, 10,000 feet, instead of seeing our problems from ground level. Tucked away in the beginning of this miracle story is a groundbreaking concept. Everyone but Jesus was looking through the looking glass from the ground. Lazarus was deathly ill. Jesus, do something. And yet Jesus is looking at this situation from a mile-high view. He waits 2 days, and he walks 2 days. John does not record that Jesus wrung his hands or cried a million tears because no one understood him. Jesus did what Jesus always did. He trusted his Father with his mountain view of the problem. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to happen with Lazarus. Listen, we may or may not have the same kind of knowing. We can always pray and listen and trust. As we sat around the campfire that chilly, dark night in Crawford, Texas, my wife exclaimed, "I get it. I get it, Fire Pit Pete," she's called him. "God is our 1-800-GORILLA. I simply have to give him my situation and trust God to do what needs to be done. I'll never have enough bananas for all the gorillas in my life." Delays and doubts, that's really what happens. Our text says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus so much that he stayed away. Did you hear that? Jesus loved them so much that he stayed away. That's incredible. These verse 4 says, when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus could have healed Lazarus from a distance, like he did the royal official's son. Jesus could have gone immediately to Lazarus' side and healed him. But think about this. Jesus had done distant healing. Jesus healed the sick in front of people. But now Jesus is going to raise the dead. Death will be defeated, and Lazarus' resurrection will be a foreshadow of Jesus' resurrection, well, and even ours. John 11 tells us to elevate our perspective. I believe that that's what this story can help us to understand, that there are unexplained delays, which are delays of love. This is what our text says. When we're being ravaged by the events of life, COVID-19, loss of job, a marriage that's fallen apart, a child that's wandered into the wilderness, health issues or other difficulties, it can be difficult to believe that God really loves us. I honestly believe that John 11 and many other scriptures clearly claims that delays can be delays of love. God is all-powerful. God is omnipotent. God is all-knowing, omniscient. God is all-unchanging. God is immutable. God is God, and God can do anything. God knows all. God even knows when a sparrow falls on the ground. God knows our plight and the promises of this passage. And all of Scripture is that God sees us, God loves us, and God cares for us. God's view of us and our lives is from above. This miracle yet to be tells us to trust God's heart. We may not understand. I'm sure Mary and Martha and maybe even Lazarus, he didn't understand Jesus' delay. You've heard it said that God's delays to our prayers are not always no, but not yet. When delays and hardships come to us, we cannot expect to know all the delays or all the details, all the answers, all the reasons. If we spent all of our time asking why, we would be using our time very unprofitably or unwisely. I believe that Jesus delayed going to his faithful, loving followers, Mary and Martha, and dying Lazarus in Bethany, was in order to strengthen their love and their faith. Can you imagine the scene? For 2 days, Jesus calmly went about his daily duties and delayed going to Bethany. I am sure that every morning, afternoon, and evening, Mary and Martha went out and looked for the horizon, hoping to see Jesus walking into their lives and solve their problems. So what? The comfort in our prayers is not in the fact that Jesus always answered them as we wish, for Jesus does not. It is that God, who made us and controls all circumstances, knows best and is well able to direct even our sickness and death to his glory. This sickness will not lead to death, is what he said. I believe that the seventh miracle is not just a miracle for Lazarus, who is raised from being dead for days. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus' resurrection and ours. Jesus will soon be resurrected, and the foundation of our faith will be forever established like the immovable mountain. This story teaches us to have a heavenly perspective in all the problems we face. I want to share a quick story about Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was had known peaceful and happy days. He was a successful attorney in Chicago. He's a father of four daughters, an active member of the Presbyterian Church, and a loyal friend and supporter of D.L. Moody and other evangelical leaders of his day. Then a series of calamities began, starting with a great fire in Chicago of 1871, which wiped out the family's extensive real estate investments. When Mr. Moody and his music associate, Ira Sankey, left for Great Britain for an evangelistic campaign, Spafford decided to lift the spirits of his family by taking them on a vacation to Europe. He also planned to assist the Moody-Sankey meetings there. In November of 1873, Spafford was detained for urgent business, but he sent his wife and four daughters on ahead on the ship SS Ville de Havre, planning to join them soon. Halfway across the Atlantic, the ship was struck by an English vessel and sank in 12 minutes. All four of Spafford's daughters, Tanetta, Maggie, Annie, and Bessie, were among the 226 who drowned. Mrs. Spafford, was among the few who was miraculously saved. Horatio Spafford stood hour after hour on the deck of the ship, carrying him to rejoin his sorrowing wife in Cardiff, Wales, when the ship passed the approximate place where his precious daughters had drowned. Spafford received sustaining comfort when God enabled him to write, "When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." What a picture of hope. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, when clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord will descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Well, your homework for this week, your so what, because we're going to come back to it next week, is in this Lazarus story, you can call 1-800-GO-RILLA. Seriously, whatever situations you're facing, let us pray about trading our perspective from a ground level to a heavenly perspective. In this life, on this earth, we're never going to understand fully what God is doing in our life, but we can trust God's heart. Let us pray. Lord God, we trust your heart, even though we can't see your hand right now in our situations. Give us a heavenly perspective on all the things that we're facing. Help us to see with heavenly eyes. Let us grab a hold of your word and hold on to your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.